We're here to shine a light on the forgotten generation. This is the Modern Gen X Woman podcast, and I'm Jackie Gadeen.
And I'm Amy Bishop. We're business and career coaches who work with women like you. And we are pissed.
You should be too.
Because we have not been seen or heard, and that changes now.
Listen up, because we're going to share with you insights and ideas to make these years our best years.
F you, midlife.
Here you are, shopping at Target or your favorite store, and you have a list of items you need. Laundry detergent, toothpaste, paper towels, ketchup, and mascara. I would guess you go down each of those aisles knowing exactly what you're getting. When I say that, I mean the brand you're buying. For me, Tide, Tom's, Up and Up brand, Heinz, and Benefit. Generation X is the most loyal generation, and brands like these are benefiting wildly. They are thrilled you've been using the toothpaste for 6 years and don't actually look to explore new options on the market. There are pluses and minuses to this for you as a consumer, but where it really hurts us is when your blind loyalty spills into your career. We find ourselves loyal to organizations, the team we work with, or even our boss. Is this loyalty good for us? This week, we are exploring the pitfalls of misplaced loyalty.
Hey, Jackie.
Hello, Mimi. How are you?
Good. When you were reading this, I was thinking about how I have been loyal to Great Lash for the longest time. And a few weeks ago, I was with my 12-year-old niece, Sophia, who was proudly showing me her mascara collection. So I said, well, and she was demonstrating each one and blah, blah, blah. So I said, well, I use Great Lash. And she says, Aunt Mimi, it's not that great.
And take it from an expert. Yep. He knows. These kids know my daughter has the same thing.
She's so got funny. Phenomenal eyelashes, your daughter. I have to take a lesson from Peyton.
So we are excited to be here with you ladies today. And this is a really important conversation to be had. And we were going to start it one way, but I'm going to start it a different way. Mimi doesn't even know this.
Oh, boy.
But I realized that I have misplaced loyalty.
Uh-oh. I hope not with me.
No. Not with you. But I want to share a story without giving too much detail. But I do want to share a story because something really interesting happened this weekend. And I want to pause here and let every one of our listeners know that Mimi and I were supposed to record this on Thursday.
Yes.
And my daughter had final, so she was supposed to be home at 11, midterm, and she ended up coming home earlier because the midterm was done earlier with her friend, and it was just chaos, so we ended up not recording. And I think that was meant to happen because something really interesting happened this weekend. So this weekend, my daughter has a friend whom she has been really good friends with for the last couple of years. They met in middle school. And this kid has been going through some personal trauma with mm-hmm. her family. Mm-hmm. And so they've had like a little bit of a rocky couple of months as friends. And I have been encouraging my daughter to put aside some of the things and behavior she's seeing because her friend was going through so much.
Okay.
And I kept saying, you know, she's going through a lot and you want to be a loyal friend. You want to be a supportive friend. And this weekend, something happened where I realized that my misplaced loyalty to this child, who's like a daughter who spent mm-hmm. a lot of time with us, ended up biting me. And my daughter, really my daughter, not me, in the ass.
Oh,
pretty
no.
bad.
Oh, no.
And so I had so much loyalty to this girl and she ended up really backstabbing my daughter in a way that was unacceptable. Mm. And then proceeded to reach out to me the next morning or overnight saying, I know you're sleeping. And pretending that what she did didn't happen and lied to me and said, I don't know why Peyton's upset with me because I told her something someone else said and she's mad at me. Meanwhile, that's not what happened at all. And I just realized that I have misplaced loyalty. And the reason why I'm sharing this is because for all of the work that I do as a human,
right.
I often think that I'm pretty self-aware. And yet in this situation, I was giving this child too much credit
right.
for her character based on a loyalty I had because I felt bad for her, because I've known her, because of history, because of nostalgia. And I just want to make everyone, and she's a child, right? So there's
right.
that
so
too.
Always,
and there's
yeah.
she's a kid and kids make mistakes. But it just made me very aware of how easy it is for all of us to do that, no matter what the situation
yeah.
is. So
oh,
I wanted to
goodness.
Share that story.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because I'll share just something interesting that happened this morning, which was there is a goal that I'm setting for myself. I'm not going to announce it until it happens, but I'll tell you after. And so my brain is like going bananas with all the reasons why, like, this can't happen and blah, blah, blah. And when I started to really look at the thoughts, I was like, oh, you got a lot of work there to clean up. Right. So whenever we are ready to do something new or leave a job, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, your brain is going to go apeshit
mm-hmm.
and there's going to be a lot of work for you to clean up those thoughts.
Yeah.
And that happens to all of us, no matter where we are or who we are. When we go to strive for the next thing or something that comes that's uncomfortable, it's almost like when you have a big rock
mm-hmm.
and you take the rock and there's like all those bugs underneath.
Yeah.
That's what it's like.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
like
a great
you take
analogy.
The rock out and all those bugs there. You got to clean that shit out. So,
so we're cleaning it out. And,
yeah.
and this is a really, really important conversation that we are having. And we want you to listen to this with curiosity about how this lands for you. And now, this is not a generalization of everyone that has misplaced loyalty, but many Generation Xers do. And there's lots of reasons why we do. We're going to dig into all of that and uncover it. But as you're listening to this, I want you to think, oh my goodness, am I doing that? And where am I doing that? And I think it is different human to human, right? Like this kid that I still care about, but I'm disappointed in. But it is different when it's humans, but is it really different when it's hurting us but making other people happy? And that's what the loyalty part is, right? So often we will say, like, I want to make everyone else happy, even
yeah.
at the expense of myself, and that has to stop.
And it's very easy to do that. And I think as women, we are conditioned to do that. And I think then when we see a woman that it doesn't do that, we kind of judge her a little bit.
We do.
Right? So it's like not helping the situation either.
No.
Because, yeah, it's just not.
No.
So I think we should all check ourselves, right? Am I either putting people ahead of myself or situations or places or things, which we're going to dig into in a second, or do I see someone not doing it and am I getting judgmental?
Right.
You know, let's pick up the rock
yeah.
and see what's underneath there.
So, you know, a lot of what we manage, deal with, believe as women in our 40s, 50s, 60s, right, is what we have grown up to know. So a lot of all generations have generational biases, just like there's cultural biases. And many of the generational biases we have are based on the things that we learned early on, either in our childhood or early in our career. And loyalty is one of those that we were taught is important, even though we were part of that sea change where it wasn't important.
Right.
And that's really, it's really interesting. So I'm going to share this quick story that when I was about 25, 26, I was looking to go to a new job. I had been at my company for 3 years and I was like, you know, it's time to move on and do something else. And I was sitting across from this man in his mid-50s and I was trying to be, you know, mature and experienced at all 26 years old. And he said, why would you leave your job after only two and a half years? Because I hadn't even been there 3 years. And it felt accusatory. And at that time, I was like, oh, am I not supposed to leave my job? And I didn't get the job, and for whatever reason, because I think my answer wasn't sufficient enough and probably some other things. But what was interesting to me is that when I was looking to leave, and that was about 2 years in, I stayed another year because I was like, oh, I need another year under my belt.
Oh, wow. So he really triggered
me. So he really
triggered
me.
Yeah.
And so I stayed at my next job for 5 years. I stayed at the next job for 11 years. And I realized how that played a role in the decisions that I made about leaving or not leaving.
Wow.
More than I thought it did. until I really reflected on that. And I wanted to share that because this may sound like you, as you are, not that you had that experience, but as you think about, am I staying? Am I leaving? Am I going? All of those types of conversations that you have for yourself.
I had a kind of a reverse experience. So in the beginning of my career, I very mindfully jumped around. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, I think my second job, I was probably only there like 10 or 11 months. And then I made another jump to a place that was a terrible fit and wound up leaving on my own accord, but it was a terrible confidence blow. And then because of that shaky confidence, wound up staying at the job that I was at. Well, I'm not going to say that was why. It actually wasn't. But then wound up staying at the next job for 18 years. Mm-hmm. And part of it, in the beginning, I think I compensated for that lack of confidence. And this is a different story, by like overworking, you know, so that's different. But it's just interesting that over time, a lot of the things that we're going to talk about today played out into the reasons why I stayed there so long. And it had some pluses, I'm not going to lie, but it had a lot of minuses.
Me too. Yeah. Me too. I had a lot of pluses, but you know, there's a lot of problems when we have the loyalty for the wrong reasons, and loyalty in general, because we don't have loyalty to ourselves first. And that's really the point of all of this conversation.
Right.
And as Gen Xers, we tend to be loyal and we tend to be just think that longevity is security. And there's a lot of misconstrued conversations around that. Mm-hmm. So I want to share a story about a client. And we do this because as you are listening to the podcast, we want you to feel and know that you aren't alone in all of this. And these women that are just like you are facing a lot of the same situations and circumstances. So recently I had a client and she had a dilemma. She was approached by her boss to take on this new role and this new opportunity at the company she was at. And she knew in her heart of hearts, she had no desire to stay at the organization long term. But the job would give her, you know, more money, bigger exposure, all of that for the short term. And so I said to her, why wouldn't you consider taking it for 6 or 9 months? And she said, because that feels wrong for them to invest in me and for me to leave. And this to me was it was an aha moment as I was writing this, and this just had just happened. And I said, wow, this is exactly what I'm talking about. And in my 30s, I probably would have thought the same thing, and probably in my 40s. But here's what's funny about this conversation that I want each of our listeners to understand, that if she would have taken that job and been promoted and there were cuts in 3 months and she would have gotten cut, the company wouldn't care.
Right.
Their loyalty would only be to their bottom line. And this is what we need to really start thinking about as we think about what are the choices that we're making? Why are we protecting the resources of an organization when they don't ever protect us first? And that is a very clear delineation between taking something, not taking something, staying or not staying. And I want to really shine a light on this. And if this is hitting home for you, it could get a little squirmy, wormy, uncomfortable, because we are humans first, especially in our generation.
Yes.
And it can feel like it doesn't align with our integrity,
right,
or it doesn't align with some of our other core values like honesty. But that is not the case, because the only thing you owe the company is the loyalty to do the job that you were hired to do. That's what you owe the company. And I just need to say that out loud.
Yeah, I have lots of thoughts about this. The first is, and you like touched on this, Jackie, is just the message that we got either verbally or non-verbally from our parents and our grandparents' generation. So, you know, if they lost a job, it was a very big deal. Yeah. Recently on an episode, Jackie and I both realized that our dads had lost – we didn't know this about one another, but our dads had both lost a job, and how upsetting it was for the entire family, right? I mean, and think about it. Back like in my grandmother's time, she was a single parent. There was no Social Security or benefits. It's devastating, right? So there was this real fear about holding on to this job. I also remember when I had gotten a job and I was making $50,000, which felt at that point in my career, it was like a good milestone. Mm-hmm. And I told my grandmother and she said, did they make a mistake? She thought it was too much, mm-hmm. right? So this is like what we were kind of brought up with, like this generation. So that's a big piece of it. The other thing is our generation has weathered a lot of economic storms. So maybe if you are really on board with this whole idea of, yeah, I need to jump around like I was in the beginning of my career. As my career progressed, I saw more and more economic turmoil. I thought to myself, let me hold on to this because I didn't want to have to worry about things. I saw people getting left off, let go.
And if you're right, and think about it today, like if you are listening to this today and it's February 8th, right? You will really understand that, what, 77,000 jobs were lost between Meta, Salesforce, Google,
Amazon,
and there was and Microsoft in the last six months. And so that's a huge moment. But that doesn't mean you have to be loyal, because those people who got laid off, many of them had been at those companies for a long time. So their loyalty isn't giving them
an edge. No, it's not. There were two other things I wanted to mention about my experience in staying loyal also. I think sometimes our loyalty gets misplaced because you may have a lot going on in midlife, especially, and the instability of a new job just feels like it's overwhelming. And then lastly, and this was really true for me, I was close with people that I worked with. I really adored them. We were friends. We were like family. So the thought of leaving and starting over, like, that was a hard call.
Or how about leaving and leaving them to do the work, right?
Like that was another,
I feel like there's this there's this other thing, right? And I people always say, like, but I don't want to leave them behind.
Yes.
And I just want to adjust your perspective a little bit. And again, I've heard this used not in a work scenario, but in other scenarios, which is you choose to move on and you aren't leaving them behind, but they can choose to come or not. And this is a very different perspective on life, right? Versus I'm leaving them behind if I grow, if I make more money, if I... No, this, you're not leaving them behind. You are moving on and they can decide to come along for the ride or not. And I think that's a very freeing concept.
I'm going to share something, actually. So my best friends, they all got married and had children. And I chose not to have children. I didn't want them, right? And so their lives changed pretty dramatically. I could have, they could have got moved forward, but I decided to still move forward with them. And like, I would just take my niece, you know, like I still found a way to be, to grow with them. Maybe I wasn't involved in all their activities anymore, but there was still a place for me.
Right. So, and I think, you know, there's a, that's exactly right. So you can keep moving on and figure out how you can still be connected without it being about being loyal to someone else before yourself. And that's really what this comes down to.
Do you want to talk a little bit about what we really do owe our employers?
Yeah. I always think about this because there's this misconception of what working for someone is. And I think that we confuse what we owe our employers with what we really owe our employers. And, you know, we don't owe them more than what we were signed up to do. And I think there's a, all of a sudden we get more responsibility and we have to work more hours and we have to produce more. And at some point we need to recognize where the benefit is for us. And I want to do a really deep reframe, which is this. You are hired to do a job. You do that job. This is what we owe the company. They pay you money. You are contracted to do the job, to work a specific number of hours, or to produce a specific number of results. We are not indentured servants. And I can't take credit for this statement because when I heard this, I was like, oh, it's brilliant. My client Heidi said this and I was like, you are absolutely right. We don't have to give them a certain amount of time to pay them back for hiring us.
Right.
That is so antiquated and it's complete nonsense. And as you're listening to this, you're probably thinking, oh my gosh, you're so right. Yet 63% of our community, modern Gen X women, have been at their organization 7+ years and haven't gotten a promotion.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. And I have to say, you need to think about where that fits in your scheme and how you're going to change or think differently about it.
Yeah. I think it's an opportunity to do a worth check too. Like, where is your worth in that you are just so shaken by this. So I'm going to share a really personal story. When we started this episode, I talked about the job that wasn't a fit, right? So I left that job, but my confidence was really tanked. And I left that job, which was like a very, you know, it was a corporate job, but it wasn't like stiff corporate, right? Mm-hmm. And then I started to work for News Corp, which is very corporate. So I'll never forget my first day at a division of News Corp. They bring you into what was called like management council. And it was a room full of mostly men in white shirts, white men in white shirts and ties. Mm-hmm. And my immediate thought was, oh, I don't belong here. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wait a sec. Like, yes, you do, you know? But again, my confidence, my worth was so at the bottom because of that previous experience. And it was really like, I felt that shock as I was going into that room. And this is even without coach training or really much information about awareness. Yeah. I still remember that I was like, no, you got this. Yeah. You've got this. But it really took a lot of like internal cheerleading to do that. So really check where your worth is, because you may want to really invest in doing some work around that to build your worth and so that you know your value.
And if you are struggling with your worth, and I have to just pause here. If you realize that you are shaken internally about what you deliver, your confidence, your worth, and how it shows up at work, we get it. And it's why we do our Worth Value Wealth program. And we just sold out of our program that starts this week. And so we're really excited about that. We are doing a next cohort in this year. So go to www.moderngenxwoman.com, apply wealth to apply if you feel like your worth is shaken. Because yeah. I promise you, you will come out of this 8-week program knowing the possibilities that are ahead for you with a transformation about yourself and step into convicted confidence. And that is a promise that we have for you. And I just want to share that.
Yeah. I'm glad you did.
Well, I want to, you know, companies love loyalty. So if you actually do any research on loyalty in companies, you will see that there is so many articles about employee engagement and loyalty and how companies want you to be loyal and how they want to, they don't want to foster turnover, right? Because turnover is expensive. And we, especially as Gen Xers, feel as though we are thankful and grateful to have a job. And it almost reminds me of, this is going to sound really harsh, but it does remind me almost like Stockholm Syndrome, right? Where you're so brainwashed into believing that either you're lucky to have a job or that you're only good at your job there, right?
Right.
So you're only worthy there as opposed to worthy elsewhere. And we get brainwashed into this belief. And a lot of that comes from not getting promoted and not getting advancements, where we're like, okay, well, I'm really lucky because I'm not getting promoted. And I want to say BS. What is happening is companies are taking advantage of the loyalty that you have given them and using it over and over again to milk you for all that you are versus rewarding you for all that you do.
Yeah.
And if you hear this and you're like, oh my gosh, that's me. Totally get it. That's why we exist. That's why we do this podcast, because it is a big game changer. It's an aha moment. And then what you do with that aha moment is up to you, right? You can have that aha moment and you can sit with it and you can do nothing with it and you can listen to our podcast and next year you'll be in the same place. Or you can take an action that's going to move you to doing something different. And I encourage you to take a really uncomfortable action, whatever that action looks right. like for you, because you deserve more. If you find yourself listening to this and feeling like this is me, I'm very undervalued. I'm very underpaid and I need to change.
Yeah. So as you were saying that, I just had my own aha. So at the company I was at for so long, they really used to promote how we were like a family, you know, mm-hmm. we all got along and we did. But now that you're saying that, Jackie, I'm like, you know what? Like they use that culture point to keep people there forever, but they didn't pay us very well, like the market right. value. And every time, you know, I'd always have to negotiate for more. And that's why we do a negotiation webinar. But why did I have to do that? Like, shouldn't they value you for what you're doing versus having to always be going to bat constantly, right? Especially when they knew that we were all
underpaid.
And how
great was the culture, really?
Now that I think about it, how great was it? Yeah, right. not that great. Like, right. I wanted to work from home. I couldn't do that. Right. I finally got to do it, but it was after like presenting the case for it over years.
Yep. And so I think that's also part of it. It's like, we think that we are being loyal or that the culture is good. And a lot of times the culture is not even good.
Right. It's not as great as you
think it is. But maybe our team, we love our team.
Yeah.
Right. But maybe the boss is a jerk, or the values of the organization are completely misaligned with who we are. Or maybe they berate people the way that it doesn't matter. Right. But there are so many things, but we think that behavior is okay because we've gotten so used to it.
That's right.
We have learned, right, what is our mission? We have learned to accept the unacceptable. Mm-hmm. And when you recognize that you no longer want to accept the unacceptable, that's when you get to turn it around.
Yes.
That's when you get to turn it around.
Absolutely.
And there is a point, right, where it's like, I'm not accepting this anymore.
Right. It's like that bottom point.
And
you're like, but instead of just saying giving up and being like, whatever, like I can't do anything, you're like, nope, this is where I get to turn it around.
Yeah.
And it's going to feel uncomfortable.
Of course it is.
But that's part of the process. And you just move through that discomfort. It's not with you forever.
Right.
So,
right.
Important
so,
to know.
You know, and that all of this loyalty, it just serves the organization, right? So a lot of women 40 plus have this misconception that with loyalty and longevity mm-hmm. comes security. And I touched on this before, but that's the other piece that a lot of people don't talk about is Gen X wants to feel secure. And Gen X needs to feel secure to make a change. And I have to tell you,
that's
false,
that.
Right? And it's false. Like, there's no guarantees in life. So there's no guarantee if you stay where you are, you'll have a job. And there's no guarantee that if you leave, that the job will be better. Mm-hmm. But here's the kicker. If you have confidence, then confidence is the ability to figure it out.
Yes.
And that is where the freedom comes from for you to make the change you need to see.
So I want to ask you guys listening, you ladies listening, how many of you on a scale of 1 to 10, where is your confidence in your ability to figure things out if you get yourself into a pickle?
Yeah.
We want you to think about that and let us know where you're at, because that's something that can be, if it's at a 0 or a 1, that's something that can be improved.
Yeah.
Okay. All you really need, you need just some faith in yourself that you can pick yourself back up.
Yeah. And the longer we stay at a company, I want to just emphasize this, the less opportunity there is for us to get promoted and to make money. So the longer we stay, we get about a 1.5% to 2% increase annually if you get that. But when you jump jobs, it's 10 to 15 to 20%. And what that means is that not only is that impacting you right now, but it impacts your retirement. It impacts your social security. So this is not just a nice thing to do. This is a must do for us. And so I want to make sure that you know that and recognize what you think is important. And that's part of this too. Like, what are the criteria for what you think is important in the work that you do? And make sure that your organization you're in checks off at least 90% of those. Nothing's going to be 100%, right? But it has to be at least 85 to 90% of those. Otherwise, you're settling. And often we settle in the places that hurt us long term.
Yeah. The other thing is really be wary, especially now with so many layoffs and changes and that kind of thing, with future promises, right? So if you're here X long, then you'll get a bonus. I have a good friend that just went through this.
Yeah.
They were promised this huge bonus and COVID happened and now nothing.
Yeah. Nothing. Or promised, you know, you take this job and you'll come in this promotion with the responsibilities, but in 6 months, you know, if you do a good job, quote unquote, we'll promote you and give you more money, right?
Right.
And then there's no metrics for that success. So it's all BS. We have to be smarter than that. We are smarter than that, but we have to believe, we have to have the worth piece, right? To say, this doesn't work. That doesn't work for me. And I'm standing my ground.
Yeah. And, you know, and I'm seeing this more and more. And I'm seeing it with my own health journey, but it really applies to this too. Sometimes we put our, I'm not going to say confidence, but our, Jackie, help me with the word I want to use here. It's like the decision, right? Or that we assume that the person sitting across from us is making the best decision on our behalf, right? So it could be an HR person, or in my case right now, a doctor, right? Where it's like, well, they must know what they're doing, so I'm just going to let them look at the lab results. Mm-hmm. No, you need to be proactive. You do. Like, you may be like, well, Mimi, I've got like a million things on my plate. I get it. Mm-hmm. But you have to be proactive in moving your career along. You need to be proactive in getting the data for your health or whatever it is, because you can't outsource that responsibility to someone else.
Yeah.
So,
and I want to also, I kind of want to touch on something that I think is something we don't recognize often when we have a lot of loyalty in a company. And it's that when we are so loyal to an organization, it really impacts our identity. So I work with so many women that have been at their companies for a long time, and just the thought of leaving gives them agita, because their identity is so intertwined into the fabric of the organization, and it makes it harder for them to separate themselves from who they are in that integral part. And even if they're going to move on to something else with a title or a similar title, it still really plays a part of their identity. So I know that this is all uncomfortable, and I don't want to minimize that, but I want to really reflect to you that your identity is who you are as a human.
Yes.
It isn't who you are as, you know, Jackie as associate publisher of AdAge that I lied for 2 months because I was so uncomfortable with that. After I decided to leave AdAge, I still was uncomfortable not having a quote unquote title. And when I think about that, I'm like, what the heck? Like, why do we care so much what other people think?
Or why do we? I did the same thing.
Right. Why do we tie so much into that? And we just need to unravel that, because when we know our worth and know what we really are and who we really are, then titles don't matter.
Right.
It's about having the conviction in what you can do and what you deliver.
Yeah, I struggled with this too. When I left, I was vice president of marketing, and then people would be like, what are you doing now? And I'm like, oh, well, I'm like a coach. And, and it took me a couple of years to be like, oh, I'm co-founder of a company called Modern Gen X Woman, blah, blah, blah. Like, with the same kind of confidence and conviction that I did when I used to say I'm vice president of marketing.
Right.
Right. But it took a long time to step into that new identity fully.
Yeah.
So if you're struggling with this yourself, especially, you know, a lot of you ladies listening maybe just left corporate and are starting a new job, and you're feeling that like imposter. I'm not even going to say imposter. It's discomfort in the identity,
not knowing who you are.
Yeah.
You could, and I get it. And
you got to grow into it, and you will.
Yeah. Growing into it.
Yeah.
Growing into it.
Yeah.
I love that statement. So the other thing about when we think about being loyal, a lot of times we just get limited experiences, right? And then it could stunt our growth. So we will, maybe the technology that the organization uses hasn't grown, or maybe the job that you're doing has expanded a bit, but you're only getting the experience through the lens of this company. So it really does limit your growth. And then on top of that, when we do decide to possibly move, it could hurt our reputation, because we could be seen as stuck or outdated or behind the times or limited perspective in what we do. So we need to be able to articulate how we've grown in the same organization when we go on interviews. And that's a process. And that's an internal belief we need to have to be able to articulate it externally.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember, you know, when I was at my job, again, like for a long time, you're not building those skills. And such a short period of time, I have learned so much in becoming an entrepreneur, because it's just a different perspective.
It is a different perspective. And we have to be more nimble. And a lot of times, and especially if you're in a big organization, there's no nimble, right? You have this job, and this is the job you do, and maybe you move to a new job. So I just want to be very clear about that. Now, I am not saying we shouldn't be loyal humans, right? I'm not saying that. But all I'm saying is that I want to make sure, we want to make sure that loyalty is mutual. And loyalty should be reserved for people that we love. Loyalty should be reserved for people who respect us and who we are as humans. Loyalty does not have to be to things and objects and organizations, because that isn't reciprocal. And that's really important to kind of state.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to add?
No, I think you nailed it.
All right, ladies. So All right, ladies.
So Jackie and I, we follow this guy on TikTok. He's a lunatic. What's his name?
Freddie something.
I'll put it in the show notes. It's like the dumbest thing, but he's, I think he's high when he does it, Jackie. I hate to break it to you because he makes himself laugh, which is,
the whole thing is funny,
but he's funny. He's adorable. He's gay, unfortunately. I showed him to my niece. She's like, he's cute. I'm like, I know. And he's gay. And she's like, but he's my type. I'm like, me too. And meanwhile, I could be his mother. But anyway, he does. So he dresses up in these crazy outfits and stuff. But then throughout, in some part of the TikTok, he'll go, am I right, ladies? So now Jackie and I do this to one another all the time. And it's hilarious. Fun. It's funny.
And we love humor.
So I'm going to put this guy in the show notes.
And you can let us know what you think about him.
you may be like, you guys are out of
my husband notes, thinks I'm stupid for thinking he's funny. And I think he's stupid for thinking he's not. So.
Oh, so he doesn't. Scott doesn't think he's funny? No,
not at all.
But Peyton thinks he's funny.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Am I right, ladies? All right. Okay. Am I right, ladies? Okay, ladies. We love.
Can I tell you something funny? So my dog's name is Lindy. So now I keep going, am I right, Lindy?
You know, I'm going to pause here. Mimi doesn't know I'm doing this either. Because you know how I do this. But I was thinking that maybe it's time for us to decide on a new sign off. Instead of, I don't know. Cheers to your magnificence.
All right. What are you thinking?
I don't know. But I don't know why I was thinking this. It was one of the things I was up in the middle of the night.
I'm having discomfort.
I know. And I'm not sure if it's the right thing, but I'm wondering if we should, and here's why. So let me pause here. When we started the podcast, it was called Make Your Life Magnificent, right? Then we rebranded to Modern Gen X Woman. Then we've redone the intro a few times.
Yes, we have.
And the only consistency has been the sign-off. And that's okay, but I'm wondering, like, who are we in 2023? And should our sign-off possibly reflect that? So the reason why I'm bringing this up is because if you're listening and you have some creative ideas tied to Gen X, I would love to hear them because I thought it could be really interesting and fun to be a little nostalgic and maybe a nod towards being a Gen X woman.
I love it. So please, please.
Yeah.
Mimi at Modern Gen X Woman, Jackie at Modern Gen X Woman.
Let us know what you think.
Let us know what you think. I love this idea.
Okay. But for now, we're going to keep it as is. So until next week.
Don't you love when Jackie throws these curveballs at me? All right, until next
That's
week.
How I am. I'm always thinking and always ideating. And then
she is. Yes. And then I'm like.
Mimi's trying to catch up and then she's trying to figure out how she puts it in a spreadsheet.
I do. Listen, one of us has got to be on top of the details.
Yeah, so one of us has to be thinking big enough so that the business hits the $1 million mark.
You bet.
All right, ladies. All right. Until next time. Cheers to your magnificence. Modern Gen X Woman is the podcast created with you in mind. If you're inspired by this episode, please leave us a review. It's so important. Look, we know it's not easy for you to stop and go over and leave a review, but it is so appreciated by Mimi and myself, and it really helps other amazing Gen X women like you find us so that they too can become the modern Gen X woman.